to help our brother get to heaven. Thinking about the statement that the other two ordinances make, you know, the Lord's one of his great desires, and it has been since the beginning of time, that we would know him. And it seems like the Lord has opened up these thoughts to me in the last few months, that how much the Lord desires us to know him. You can hear the endearing and the entreating language in Revelations 3 and verse 20. I'll just read it here where it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come in to him and I'll sup with him and he with me." To me, that is something so much deeper than just acknowledging the fact that there's somebody out there who created the world, and it's a lot greater even than somebody that we need to just obey. The Lord does expect obedience out of us. As he said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." But it goes beyond that. You know, the Lord, since the beginning of time, has wanted us to know him. You can see why, you know, and I've wondered before, why has the Lord used human vessels to accomplish his will? Why has the Lord used human vessels to be the propagator of prophecy? Why has the Lord used human vessels to help and minister unto other people? And think of the things, the examples in the Old Testament. I've just been kind of going over some of those in my mind, and we're not going to take the time to actually read the scriptures, but let's just rehearse some of those in our memory this afternoon. Think about what the Lord did to Abraham. It says Abraham was called the friend of God. And the Lord wanted Abraham to know him. Now, people could not. There was a boundary or a chasm between us and the Lord that Jesus broke down when he came. But even in that state of limited light and understanding and contact with God, the Lord wanted his people to know him as much as was possible in that time. The Lord, I think about the time where the Lord told Abraham to go sacrifice his only son. And he went, if you give me a little bit of liberty this morning, this afternoon. The way that the Lord told Abraham to do it, I believe with all my heart that the Lord was not just, that it wasn't just some random act of obedience. I wonder if Abraham will do this. Well, let's just see. The Lord was telling Abraham, "You know what? I've got to offer up my only son too." This is something I want to think about. Jacob. You know, Jacob, the Lord wanted to get to know, he wanted Jacob to know him. And I just think of the life of Jacob. Jacob, his name meant supplanter, deceiver. And there was a time, you know, the Lord wanted to communicate with him. And he gave Jacob a dream one night. And he showed him a ladder going up to heaven. And I don't want to take a lot of time to get into that, but I believe that the Lord was basically telling Jacob, I offer you this ladder. I want to give you communication between you and me and whatever. I will be your guide. I will be your God. I want to lead you. I want to make myself strong in your behalf, and I want you to know who I am. And Jacob went on his way, and I'm disappointed at what Jacob did. When he got up from there, he said, "You know what?" And this is after the Lord gave him a promise. He said, "If the Lord will do this and this and this, and if he'll bring me back safely, then I'm going to serve him." And may the Lord help us that when the Lord comes down and speaks to us and we hear something from the Lord that we won't place a condition on. You know what? I'm going to wait and see if the Lord does what He said He'd do. And then I'm going to give my heart to Him. We're going to miss a lot in life if we do it that way. And Jacob went on his way, and it said that there came a time where the countenance of Laban was not toward him as it was before. The Lord said, "Return, and I'm going to be with you." And so he came back, and he had some life-changing experiences on that journey back home. He learned some things. It says that the angels of God met him, and he had some experiences when he was about to meet his brother Esau. He was very afraid. And he met an angel that wrestled with him. And it wasn't just an angel. I believe that he was wrestling with the Son of God Himself. And he said, the angel said at the end, Jacob said, "I'm not going to let you go till you bless me." And angel said, "What's your name?" He said, "Jacob, supplanter, deceiver. That's what my name is." And the angel said, "Not anymore." The angel, I mean to say the Lord, said, "Your name is going to be called Israel, because as a prince, you have power with God and with man and have prevailed." And you know, the Lord, after that, those years after that point in time were the brightest years in Jacob's life, because the Lord made Himself very real to him. Think about what the Lord showed him. The Lord let him see what happened to his beloved son too. That was hated by his brothers. Joseph, the son that Jacob thought he mourned for and longed for, and the Lord let him see what happened to his son. Jacob, it says, I hope we can get a hold of these thoughts this morning. Hebrews 11 said, "All these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them." Those patriarchs did not just have somebody tell them, "You know what? This is what's going to happen." The Lord came down and showed them, "You know what? I want you to get to know me. This what's happening to you, I'm going to have that happen to me too. This is the kind of thing." Think about the things that the Lord spoke to David. Have you ever read the Psalms and marveled at what the Lord had to, at what David had and the other writers of the Psalms, what they had to experience from the Lord to be able to write as they did? Psalms 45, "My heart is inditing a good matter. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." Psalms 110, "The Lord said unto my Lord," Jehovah said unto my Adonai, or the Messiah, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool." What kind of place did those people have to come to or get to in their life for the Lord to reveal Himself to them like that? Jacob got to the place where he got to see Joseph, which was one of the most striking types of Christ in the Old Testament. Joseph was hated of his brothers. He was despised, but he saved the whole world. He provided bread to the whole world. And I don't know what you think about that, but I want to ask you a question today. If the Lord went to those kind of lengths to let Him be known by people in that limited time, do you think that it's stopped today? The Lord wants us to get to know Him. And we are able to do that by the atonement that Jesus made in a much fuller and greater sense than we could back then. How are you going to love someone? The Lord said, or John said in the book of 1 John, "He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love." Think of all the things that God is. 1 John says several of them. It says that God is light. And it says that God is love. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, Jesus said, if you have love one for another. And to my mind, this is one of the greatest ways in which the Lord said, I want you to know me, in that He made a way for us to partake of His divine nature and His attributes. The Lord doesn't just have love, He is love. The Lord doesn't just have light, He is light. How are we going to know exactly what the Lord is and who He is if all we can point to is some abstract idea and say, you know, the Lord is love. I don't really understand what that is, but the Lord is love. God is love. No, the Lord puts those kind of things in our hearts. He's wanting us to get to know Him personally, where we know who He is, because that's the way we are too. And we can know what the Lord, the attributes of the Lord, and shine. Think about, you know, light. I've said before, I don't know if I've said it here, but when you shine light through a prism, it breaks into all of the colors, and that's what the Lord wants us to do, because those are all His attributes. We are nothing in ourselves, but He wants us to take His light, and a prism's clear. You're not going to really notice it itself, but what you notice is light. The way that the light glitters and it sparkles and it goes forth in its prism of all the spectrum of all the colors. God wants us to shine forth His love, His light, His understanding, His righteousness, His truth, His mercy, all of those things that God is. And at the same time, God wants us, in shining forth those things, to know Him, because that's what He is. I hope I'm making sense with that this afternoon. There's another way. Let's go to Philippians 3 and verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now we think about knowing the Lord, and everybody, I think, will say, yeah, I want to know the Lord. I want to know Him. I want Him to speak to me. I want Him to, and what do we say though? What are we really saying when we say, I want to know the Lord? And I want to fellowship with Him. The Lord wanted us to know Him in every way. I want to read a verse real quick in Romans 6, and maybe we can come back to this, what I just read. Romans 6 and verse 3, we're talking about the ordinances. In the foot washing, we make a statement that I want to fellowship with my Lord, in that I want to serve. Yeah, I want to have the same passion He did for others. Baptism says something else. I just want to pick this up real quick. Romans 6 and 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When we get baptized, we do not teach, as some do, that the baptism and the physical water is what saves us. But what we teach is that baptism is a statement that we make to God and to the world that I have died to sin, that I am going to walk in newness of life. I have died and I am coming up a new creature, and I am going to testify to the world that I am fellowshipping with Christ in His death, and I am going to be like Him in the resurrection, and I am going to live a new life by the power of God. It's a statement that we make, and when we make a statement, it is hypocrisy not to follow through or not to have our heart totally joined with that statement that we make. So it is with feet washing. If we go and we partake of that ordinance and we make the statement, I am willing to fellowship with Jesus in this way, in that I'm willing to serve you, and then we do the foot washing and we go out and we try to serve ourselves, and we're not willing to do it, it's hypocrisy. And the communion that we are about to partake of also makes a statement. And that is that I am willing to partake of Christ's sufferings. I want to know the Lord and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. You know, when we take that communion, when we sit there and we take that, we are making the statement that I am willing to go all the way with the Lord. And I want to talk a little bit about that. We say, I want to know the Lord. But what do we really mean when we say that? We want to know the power of His resurrection, don't we? We want to know His power in our lives, don't we? We want to have the cleansing in our hearts, don't we? But the fellowship of His sufferings? You know, we've probably all heard ministers or people say, you know, you really to be spiritual, to receive the blessings of God, you're going to have to suffer. You know, the Lord wants communion with us in that He wants to share His heart with us, and He wants us to share our heart with Him. I want to ask you, how, if we don't have any way, any avenue to show the Lord how much we appreciate what He's done, what good is it? What kind of depth do we have in our spiritual life if all we can do is just say thank you and always be on the receiving end? The fellowship of His sufferings. The apostles, it says in Acts, we won't turn there, but it said that they rejoiced when they were beaten, and it didn't feel good. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Lord, I want to do whatever I can to show you, you know, Lord, if this will further your gospel, if this will be pleasing to you, then I rejoice in that. I am willing to do something that will give me an avenue of showing my appreciation for what you did on the cross. They whipped him, scourged him, they put a crown of thorns on his head. He was up all night. I can't even imagine how tired and how spent the Lord was. And He did that for you and for me. And I just want to say that I am thankful for the chance, for the opportunity to say to the Lord, Lord, I want to fellowship with you in this too. It's not like we're trying to equal what the Lord's done for us. We can't. We cannot equal the atonement that the Lord made for us. But by giving ourselves to the Lord and saying, Lord, if suffering is the path that you have for me, whether it be emotional, physical, whatever it is, whether it's a thorn in the flesh, it can be a neighbor that's a pain, or it can be a great physical affliction that lasts for years. In those ways, instead of murmuring and complaining and saying, I don't understand why the Lord wants me to do this. It's just, I can't take all this. Can't bear it another minute. It's an avenue that we can fellowship with the Lord. I hope we can understand what I'm trying to bring out today. It says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28. says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You remember the story of the man that had two sons? And Jesus told this story to the Pharisees, and he said to the first, I want you to go work in my vineyard. And he said, no, not going to do it. And then afterward, he repented and he went. The second son, Jesus said, the man said, son, go work in my vineyard today. And the second son said, oh yeah, I'm on it. I'll be right there. And he never went. You know, we look at those and we think, well, which son would we want to be like? You know, there is a third. There is a third option that's better than either of those two. And that is Jesus say, son, go work in my vineyard. And I say, I'm going. And then I really follow through with it. You know, the statement that we make when we partake of the communion is that I am willing to suffer with Jesus. That I am willing to fellowship His sufferings. If God chooses to send this my way, I'm going, as Paul said, most gladly will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's not something that's grievous to me, but it's something that if the Lord puts this in my pathway and I feel like that this is something, it's not just the hand of Satan buffeting me, but it's something that the Lord chooses to put on me. Most gladly will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that right there is what we're really saying. It's the statement that we make when we partake of this. And so if we partake of this with a heart that's not in conformance with that statement, it's hypocrisy. If we partake of this communion and we don't really have a heart to give everything to the Lord, if we're not sold out, we're only in this halfway, I want to serve the Lord as long as I have the power and as long as I have the victory and as long as I have all the good things in my life, but fellowshipping His sufferings, yeah, I don't know about that. We need to be careful when we go ahead and partake of this communion that we are sold out for whatever the Lord wants us to do. May the Lord help us each one today. I feel like this is, that's my thought that I feel like the Lord gave me. Maybe we can back up in 1 Corinthians 11 a little bit, read the 23rd verse. This is a very special service. It has a lot of solemnity to it. May we each examine ourselves. The world has confused this service very much, in large part, by doctrines like that this bread and this juice turns into the literal body and blood of the Lord. It totally misses the point. Jesus wanted to teach us something else besides that, and something that's a whole lot more meaningful. When we partake of this, it also says we do show the Lord's death till He come. And so, I feel like it behooves us to read these verses and to do it as carefully as we know how. So it says, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So maybe we'll do that here.